Awesome. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Increase Conference. How good is this? This is awesome, right? Now, I want you to thank your pastors. Give Josh and Steph a big hand. And Janetta, do I say that right? From the coast. Where are our coast people at? All right. That's good. The coast. I love the coast. I'm a coast kind of guy. I'm a sailor. Any sailors here? Doesn't ever go down very well. There was one like sheepishly shy, like, I'm a sailor. You're a kayaker. Good man. Yep. Love that. So anyway, that's enough about sailing. But it's so good to be here. And yes, my name is Mitch. And much, or if you like to say it like that. But it's awesome to be here in Tauranga. I miss my flight down to, I didn't miss it actually, that sounds like I missed it, but it was cancelled because of the wind apparently, and so they put me on a bus, and it took me 3.5 hours to get from Auckland to here, but it's worth it, because this is awesome, and you guys are awesome, and I'm so happy to be here, and obviously, like Josh said, only known these guys for literally 24 hours, but love being here, and love being a part of what you guys are doing, and I actually feel like he's doing some stuff and he's getting you ready for some stuff, and I don't know if you feel that, and I don't know how long you've been in church for. Some of you might have grown up in church your whole life, and anyone who was like literally born on the altar, and your parents are in church, but there's plenty of people probably who aren't like that, and maybe you've come in the last couple of years. Who's been in church for like less than three years, few guys around. I was like that. I came to church when I was 15 years old. And so my parents aren't in, my whole family weren't in church, and I got saved in year 10, which is like halfway through high school. I'm not sure if you, I know your grades are all a little different over here, but anyway, it's awesome. And so I want to show you a few photos, because I'm married to a beautiful, beautiful person named Rebecca. And any Becks here, any Rebeccas here? One, there you go. Hey, is it B-E-C or B-E-K? C. Hey, well, my wife's B-E-K, so you know, that's all right. But there's my beautiful wife, and that's me, obviously, on the right there. And that's our baby in her stomach there. Just if you wonder, well, not in her stomach, that would be weird, she would have eaten it, but it's in her womb. And that was actually about 8 weeks ago, and so if you fast forward 8 weeks, the product is that beautiful little girl. Her name is Roey India, and she is six weeks old yesterday. So anyway, beautiful little girl, and we're very blessed. So anyway, just to show you, you know, who I am and my people. And anyway, so good to be here though. And I'm just excited. I was just in worship, really feeling like God's preparing you for something. God's getting you ready. I don't know if you've ever gotten ready for school or sport or something, and there's a preparation zone, right, where you got to get ready. God's getting you ready for something. Something's coming. I believe that for Tauranga, for this whole region, that God's getting you ready. There are young people in this city, young people in this town. Yeah, there are friends and family members in your world that God's preparing you to impact. And I'm excited for you. And I actually felt like actually there are some people here, and up until this point, you felt somewhat disqualified from what God wants to do. You felt somewhat like almost like, you know, you got, it's like your pictures are all the people here, and it's like your name has been crossed off, and there's a kind of a line through your name, a line through your photo, and you're like, oh yeah, God might do something. He might use someone, but he can't use me. And I really believe God wants to mess with some of your thinking this morning and actually say you're not disqualified. Actually, no matter what your background has been, no matter what you've been through, no matter what your situation is right now, that you're not disqualified from God using you. God actually wants to do something in you and through you, and despite where you've come from, despite who you are, despite how old you are. Come on, you can be 11 years old and God can do something amazing through your life. And I don't know if you believe that yet, but I'm hoping in the next little while, by the end of this session, you're going to start to maybe believe that about yourself. And so can we pray? Is that all right? Why don't you close your eyes And let me just pray as we get into the word this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Father, right now for every single young person here, every teenager, every leader. And in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, as your word is spoken this morning, it would pierce our hearts. Lord, that you would do something in us, deep within us. You'd change our thinking. You'd change our hearts. Lord, you'd cut away things that don't need to be there. And you'd empower us for the things of God that you want to do in us and through us today, Lord. So we give you permission to do the impossible in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Awesome. Come on, why don't you give God a hand? Just, you know, it's good to make some noise. And it's awesome. But awesome. Well, I want to start by reading this scripture here. One of my favorite scriptures. You may have heard it before. If you haven't, it's okay. We all hear something for the first time all the time. So here we go. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9 says this. But he said to me, this is Paul, and he's talking about God, Jesus. Jesus just said to him this. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Just if you could just leave it up there for a second. Isn't that amazing? That's an incredible scripture. I don't know if you caught that, but God has just said to Paul, he said, hey, God's saying to us today, my grace is actually sufficient. Sufficient means that it's everything you need. There's no lack in it. Sometimes we think like, oh yeah, God's awesome, but there's this area of my life and I'm just going to have to deal with it. I'm just going to have to. But he's saying, no, despite whatever that is for you, his grace, his love, his goodness, his mercies are more than sufficient for everything in your life, every need, every problem, every mistake, every sense of lack that you feel in your life, in your spirit, and in your world. God is sufficient for it. God is more than enough. He said, for actually, his power is made perfect in that weakness. And so it's interesting, actually, God doesn't respond to our strengths as much as he responds to our weaknesses. God actually sees your weakness. He sees your mistakes. He sees what we would often see as flaws or as areas of weakness or areas of shame, areas of disqualification. We see that as an issue where actually God sees it as an opportunity. You know, we look in the mirror and we go, oh yeah, but we think to ourselves, we might not say it out loud. We definitely won't put it on Instagram, but in ourselves, we're like, yeah, but I've done that. Oh yeah, but my family's like this. You know what God sees? That he goes, oh yes. Yes, come on, something I can work with. Finally, something I can use to my glory. And he says, actually, the power of God is not perfected until it meets our weakness. Come on, his power isn't perfect in some amazingly talented person. And if you're amazingly talented, awesome. But that's actually not what God cares about. He actually cares more that we would come to him with our weaknesses. And he says, yeah, I can use that person. I can use that because he's going to get the glory through that. He's going to get more glory in him using our weaknesses than using our strengths, which is amazing. The key to living in God's grace is actually accepting and acknowledging our weaknesses and say, God, this is who I am. I'm not going to fake it. I'm not going to pretend like it doesn't exist. I'm not going to hide behind it. I'm not going to try and cover it up. I'm just going to come to you honestly and openly in your presence and say, God, this is who I am. This is where my struggles are. This is what I've gone through. Can you do something? And you'd be amazed what God can do. We can never fully know the perfection of God's power until we acknowledge the extremity of our weakness. In the Passion Translation, the same scripture, it reads a little differently, which is awesome. It says this. It says, but he answered me, my grace is always more than enough for you, and my power finds its full expression through your weakness. So I will celebrate my weaknesses. Isn't that crazy? Paul's saying, I'm actually going to celebrate my weaknesses. The other translation says, I'm going to boast about it. Because sometimes we boast about the wrong things. But he's saying, I'm actually going to brag. Like, I'm going to boast, I'm going to celebrate in my, not in my achievements, but in my weaknesses. I'm going to throw a party for him. Because I know that there's something good's about to happen when I celebrate not in my achievement, but in my weakness. I'm going to celebrate my shortcomings, because when I'm weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. Isn't that amazing? So I'm not defeated by my weakness, but delighted. That's crazy. I'm not defeated. Come on, you're not defeated by your weakness. You're not defeated by your shame. You're not defeated by the things you've gone through. Actually, it's the making of you. They're the things we should celebrate and be delighted by. For when I am at my weakness, when I feel my weakness and endure mistreatment, when I'm surrounded with troubles on every side and face persecution because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger. For my weakness becomes a portal to God's power. That's awesome. That's amazing. I could stop right there. Come on. Because your weakness has become a portal to God's power. I don't know. Maybe you've been here at Increase Conference so far and you've watched people get prayed for. You've been in worship and you're like, oh God, I don't feel anything. And if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we can feel like they're like, God, you're speaking to that person. That person fell over, was crying like a mess, and there's snots on the floor. And it's amazing. But Lord, this must be something wrong because I missed it. I can't hear you. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't understand. And we miss something. We miss that actually the portal, the access point, the doorway to God's power is not squinting hard enough or raising our hands or jumping enough or praying enough or knowing enough. But it's actually just surrendering and saying, God, I'm here. I'm real. I'm not hiding. I'm not faking. I'm not trying to pretend. I'm open, I'm honest. That's a portal to God's power. It's just stopping and saying, God, I can't do it. I don't understand. I don't know how this all works. And it's okay, because that exactly is what God's waiting for. It's for us to stop and say, I can't do it in my own strength. Amen. And so I want to take you through a few little points here just to help you understand how this works. And the way I see it, I'm quite a visual person. Any visual people here? Any movie people here? I'm like a massive movie buff. And so, you know, typically I think a good way to understand people is to know they're like top five. You can talk back to me, by the way. Like, you know what a movie is, right? Yeah, okay, good. We're just on the same page. And so, you know, there's some good movies. This year's not been the best for movies. And there's some good movies that have come out of New Zealand, PS, by the way. Like Thor Ragnarok. Kind of came out of New Zealand, really, didn't it? You know, so that's a good movie. You know, and there's some other ones. Hunt for the Wilder People, great movie. Is that your top movie? No. What's your top movie? High School Musical. That came out probably before you were born. But anyway, you know, one of my favorite movies is Inception. Anyone? Oh, okay, there we go. I got someone. Good. Anyway, who hasn't seen Inception? Homework. Go and watch Inception. Leo at his finest. What else? My number one movie of all time. Although I'll give you a little fun fact. When I was 11 years old, because I'm the same age as Harry Potter. So like, for example, when the first one came out, they were in first year of Hogwarts. I was in the first year of high school. So like, we grew up together. It's kind of nice. I was in Ravenclaw. But anyway, I'll give you a true story. When I was 11 years old, so after, you know, the Philosopher's Stone was destroyed, I sat down in my room as a young 11-year-old, just finished first year at Hogwarts, and I wrote Hermione a letter. Well, actually, I didn't write Hermione a letter. I wrote Emma Watson a letter. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. But she never wrote back. So anyway, but just to let you know, that was one of my heartaches as a young man going through the school of witchcraft and wizardry. But anyway, we won't go into depths of that. But you know, so yeah, Harry Potter's alright. But my favorite, probably my favorite movie of all time, is Pirates of the Caribbean. So much so, I literally, you're going to think I'm the biggest, movie nerd ever, but I literally could recite to you the entire film, word for word, the entire film. I once thought that was impressive, and so when I first met my wife, who was, we were, you know, courting, you know, getting to know each other. And I thought it was impressive for me to begin to recite and then that movie. And then I got into like the fourth scene and I could tell she wasn't that impressed. So I stopped. But, you know, it's good. I got on my, on you know, when your last year of high school, do you guys get like nicknames on the back of like a jersey or a hoodie or something like that? So I got on the back of my jersey, Captain Jack. Anyway, it's not that impressive, really, is it? But everyone, you're like, awesome, bro. But, you know, anyway, I'm just letting you know I'm a movie buff. But I'm visual, is what I'm trying to say. You know, I'm quite visual. And so the way this works is I would say that our lives, we all live with like a wall around our hearts, around our lives, like a wall, like a fortress, right? Like Helm's Deep. You know, like a giant wall around our lives. And this wall is something that we have built up over our whole lives, things we build up with our achievements, things we build up with our personality, things we build up with our status, our friends, our popularity, our Instagram feed. We build up this wall that in many ways represents our value. It represents our security. It represents the things we've put our trust in to protect us, to make us feel secure and safe. And we all have these things. It could be our talent. It could be that we're a really good swimmer or a really good saxophone player. I don't know. You know, and we put up we put up, and this becomes like this wall of security around our lives, and we've become secure. We've put our safety, we've put our value, we've put our position in our relationships, in our family, in our achievements. This is a wall that represents our lives that we've built up over time. If you've grown up in church, that wall can represent that fact that you've grown up in church, and that becomes like the thing that you've kind of relied on to protect you, that you've grown up in church, or some religious view or things that you've put around you. Or if you haven't, like me growing up in church, then maybe it's different sort of views or mindsets about the world or values that we can get over time. And our possessions can be this wall, you know, that we have a nice house, or that our parents drive a nice car, or all this kind of stuff. And that can become a wall that we've put our trust in to guard our lives. But the problem is that the wall always breaks. These things that we build up around our lives, for good or for bad, they're temporal. They always break. And the problem is that in life, and even in Christianity, we can sometimes view our life with this kind of under construction mentality. You know what I mean? And that's good. The idea is nice that, you know, we're on a journey. We're under construction. Like we're on the, you know, God's doing some stuff, and we're getting better, and we're building up over time, and we're under construction. You know, and that can be a nice sentiment, and then the sentiment is good. But I actually think that we're not so much under construction as we're under deconstruction. And actually, the best way to increase is actually to decrease. And I want to encourage you today. Maybe you feel the pressure to keep building and to keep growing and to build this status and this wall around your life. But actually, the best thing that God can do in you is not so much build the things up in your life, but actually tear some things down. Because that's the point when he gets in. And so we have this wall around our lives. Now, Adam and Eve were even like this. I don't know if you've heard the story before, but Adam and Eve were in a garden. They were created by God, and they sinned. They made a mistake, and they were covered by God. They had this kind of Pastor Phil even mentioned it earlier. You know, they're covered by God, by His glory and by His grace, and they sinned, and that fell away. Their first response was to cover themselves. So they took like a leaf. They kind of sewed together really cool like hippie tiger lily underwear or something. I don't know. And they made a covering, and that's exactly what we do when we feel vulnerable, when we feel at our weakest. What we do is we put up a photo, or we put up a new selfie of our latest kicks, or we put up an achievement, or we put up something to make us feel safe, secure, protected, and hidden behind this wall or this covering. But it's all temporal, and it doesn't last. The only thing that happens is actually that wall, that covering, the things that we put up, it actually puts a blockage between us and God. That's what it does. And what I've found is that the wall always breaks. The wall always breaks. These things we put up, they never last. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about another movie. I was thinking about a movie where the wall breaks. It's a great movie. It's Lord of the Rings 2. The greatest Lord of the Rings movie. You guys should like know this off by heart, but if we have that clip, can we play this little video here? Just to give you a glimpse of what it looks like. That's me, yep. Oh, that's the wrong clip. I've given you the wrong clip. That's for a different message. I use Lord of the Rings in a lot of my messages. So don't worry, I'm really sorry. This is a different great message about carrying people, you know, through life and being a great support to people. The clip I actually wanted to show you, I'm so sorry, is Helm's Deep. Do you know it? What is going on? You are New Zealanders. The Two Towers. Look. Oh my Lord. I am shook right now. I am shook. Okay, more homework. Guys, this is like your heritage. It's Lord of the Rings, surely. I will explain it. Don't you worry. I'm just rebuking you first because this is atrocious. The fact that you live here like 20 minutes from Hobbiton and you don't know Lord of the Rings properly. Okay, yeah, well, you do. Anyway, here we go. Okay, so there's a battle, right? And they're surrounded. There's a fortress like the one I've been explaining. And this orc, which is like the bad guys, the bad army. And they run kind of through the battle lines. And they thought this fortress was impenetrable. Like it was like immovable. They couldn't break through this wall. And there was a little gap in the wall. And then the orc came through with like a big like rod of, like dynamite pretty much. And they blew up this massive hole in the wall. It's a great scene. It's like the greatest scene. Like if you're going to watch like 10, 15 hours of Lord of the Rings, like the Two Towers is the best, the middle one, you know. Anyway, we won't get into it. But what I'm really trying to say is the wall breaks. The wall has our weaknesses. The wall around your life, the things that you've put your trust in, your popularity, possessions, whatever it is, we all have it. Don't think it's just you. We all have this stuff, but it breaks. It's temporal. It doesn't last. But what the best thing is that God actually enters through those places in our life. God enters through our brokenness. And that's my first point. God enters your life through your brokenness. And you've spent too long trying to cover up your brokenness when God's saying, hey, don't cover it up because that's my point in. That's the way I get into your life, whatever it is, whether it's anxiety, come on, whether it's sickness even, whether it's physical, or whether it's some social anxiety, some social issues, or some family stuff, or some relationship stuff, or if it's some stuff at school, whatever it is, whatever that broken part of your wall is, if you've got a life, and you've got a whole wall around it, God wants to get in. And so as soon as he sees an opening, as soon as he sees a broken point, we think, oh no, that sucks. My life is broken down in this area. But God says, finally, that's my point in to your life. And we're trying to cover it and build it back up. But God's saying, hey, no, just leave it because that's where I can get in. Come on, what is it in your life that you've felt so ashamed about that actually we just need to bring to God? And this is, and God's like, thank you. That's how I get in. God enters through your brokenness. God, that's his way in. That's the portal to God's power. He enters through our brokenness. But you know what I found? Is that God doesn't rebuild the wall for us. It's not like God's coming and goes, oh, cool, yeah, okay, this wall, this part of your life is broken down. I'm going to help you build it back up. God doesn't do that. He doesn't. Because then we'd start to rely on our own strength again. We'd start to rely on our own things again. So what God does, he just stands there. God just stands there. The Holy Spirit stands in that part of your life and says, now, instead of having a wall, you'll have a guard. And God stands in that area of your life and says, I've got this for you. I'm going to guard it. And so you might feel, oh, this is a bit edgy. You know, I don't have something more like a wall, but you've got God. And he becomes your wall. He becomes your fortress. He becomes your covering. He becomes the thing that you're relying on. No longer relying on a temporal thing, but you're relying on God to be the fortress and the shield of that area of your life. God doesn't rebuild, he guards. And he exchanges a temporal security for an eternal one. The most amazing thing about God is that he lasts. God doesn't let us down. The walls that we build up can break and let us down. They get shot at by orcs or something like that. But God stands there. And he becomes enthroned in that area of your life. And so we worship out of our weakness. And we say, God, I'm enthroning you. And that's why we can celebrate in our weakness, because it's like, God, here, finally, I got a point where I can say, God, I give you the glory. I worship you. But you know what I realized? Is that God doesn't just enter through your brokenness. God exits through your brokenness. And sometimes we think, oh, cool, yeah, God has healed me, or great, great, God's gotten in this area and he's helping with my anxiety, or he's helping me with my health, or he's helping me with my family, whatever it is. God's help, but he just doesn't just want to help you and get into your life through there. Actually, if you've got a wall and that's the way in, guess what? That's also the way out. And God actually wants to use that area of your life, not just to reach you, but for you to reach others. And you'll find that as God gets in through that weakness, God actually gets out through that weakness. And you'll find that the things that you've struggled with for years and years and years, the things that you felt have been your point of disqualification or your point of shame or your point of regret, they'll actually be the point that God uses the most in your life to reach other people. And you'll find you start becoming a person. It's like, God, you know, I really struggle with my value, my sense of personal worth and value and acceptance. But I know, Lord, that you've come in through that area of my life. You've helped me. You've become the point of worship in that area of my life. I've given you the glory in that area of my life. And then I meet someone who has that same struggle, who has that same issue. And guess what? Because that's where God is in my life, he will flow out of that place, and you'll find you'll be able to minister and to give out and to flow out. The life of God that's in you in that area will then flow and bless someone else. Come on, your greatest area of weakness can be your greatest strength because of God. And you've put it in the corner and covered it up and said, God, you can't use that. That's the area God wants to use. Because you've relied on God the most in that space. I've found in my life, that's the area I struggled with. I really struggled with my own value as a teenager. I struggled with my sense of worth and acceptance. And here's the thing, I came from a great family. So it's not just people of, you know, we lump this in a box and think, but anyone can struggle with it. We all can struggle with this. I struggle with my sense of identity and worth. I was a real people pleaser as a teenager. I was constantly trying to just win people's attention and win people's respect. And I would go out of my way, and I was quite an insecure person. I think there's a lot of people like that, you know, if we admit it. But that's the area I've realized that I've been able to help people in the most, because that's the area God got into my life. As he gets in, so he gets out. And so whatever that is for you, that's the area actually God wants to use. Amen? Sometimes, here's the thing. If that's the access point to your life, and that's the way God's getting in, there's another guy who's also trying to get in through that same access point. And you'll find that all through the Bible, all through history, the devil has actually wanted God's worship. And so if there's an area of your life that's weakness that God's been getting the worship in, you might find that actually that place actually comes under attack more than anything else, because the devil wants to get in as well. And it's not something we need to be afraid of, but it's something we need to be aware of. And understand that actually as long as God's on the throne, as long as you keep giving God the glory in that space, there's no access. There's no access. But don't be surprised if an area that you've like, oh, I thought I dealt with that. God, I gave that to you last year. God, I gave that to you last increase conference. God, you helped me with that. You know, I surrendered that area last week, last year. And you're like, and why does this keep coming up? Why do I keep struggling with this? It's because the devil's trying to get in through that space still. But it's okay, because he's worried of it. He's frightened about that space, because he knows if God is in that space, God can use it to bless other people. I remember when I was 14 years old, I wasn't in church, and I was quite actually opposing to people in my school that were in church, and I had this radical encounter where through a series of events and through some people in my grade, I went to a camp, actually just a summer camp, just similar to this, similar size to this, and I had an incredible encounter with God. One of my first church experiences, actually, as a 14, 15 year old, was I was in a service about this size, sitting like about where you guys are, and there was a guy named Pastor Christian McCudden preaching. Never met him in my life. Now we're like this. But no, not really. But he was speaking. I never met him. And I was 14 years old. And he was preaching. And then halfway through the message, he stops and goes, hey, God's just speaking to me. And I don't know, he may have done this yesterday a little bit. But he said, oh, there's someone in the room with shin splints. I don't know if anyone's ever had shin splints or knows what shin splints are, but I play a lot of football, real football, soccer, jokes. But I was playing a lot of indoor soccer, and because of that, with bad shoes, like Dunlop volleys, a bad, hard surface, bad shoes, not a good combo. And so I had these shin splints, which are like hairline fractures through my shin bones. Really painful. I had to stop playing. I could hardly walk. God cared about it. As a 14-year-old, I'm sitting in one of the first church services I've ever been in, and the guy stops midway through the service. Christian stopped and said, "God's just spoken to me, someone here with shin splints." And I was like our sailor over there, I was like, "Yep, that's me." And then he prayed the most simple prayer, like, "God, I thank you for your healing right now in Jesus' name." And I was touched, fell to the ground under the power of God. I woke up. I wasn't asleep. I was just out. But I got up. I sat back down, and I was in shock. I was like, "God, what is this? What's happened?" Like, because all the pain was gone instantly, all gone. I was so in shock. I started hitting my legs to try and get the pain back. I'm like, why is it not there? I was just in shock, and it was this incredible encounter. But God cares, right? But then I realized years later, I'm telling you, like 5 years later, there were two girls in my school grade who came up to me and said, "Oh yeah, you know that kind of camp you went to that when you first started coming to church? For about 3 months leading up to that moment, we were getting together every single day to pray for you. Pray for you. That God would encounter your life." And it's an example, both Pastor Christian and these girls, of how God can use us to not just come into our life, but actually flow out of our life through prayer, through generosity. And I want to encourage you, God wants to use you. God wants to use the areas of pain and weakness and sin and mistake in your life, not just to help you, but to help someone else. And I believe God's wanting you to lift up your eyes to see who in your world God wants you to reach out to. Amen. I want to finish on this before, if you could jump back up on the keys, that'd be awesome. So God gets in through our brokenness, but actually God gets out through our brokenness. Third thing is that God actually begins to deconstruct our wall. The areas that we've put our trust in, the areas we've put our security in. And God actually slowly, he's not like a sledgehammer. He doesn't just kind of whack out the walls. He's not like a demolition guy. He actually just comes in gently, and brick by brick, God starts to actually tear down slowly the areas in our life so that the gap in our wall becomes greater and greater, so that we can become even more and more of a blessing to the people around us. And so you'll find maybe it's your value, like I said, and you've been able to minister out of that place. You've been able to pray for someone or give that back to someone. But then suddenly God's expanding and God's using, and he's actually tearing down the things in our life that we've put our trust in. And so that actually our area of ministry, our area where we can bless other people, becomes expanded and increased through our decrease. As we decrease, he increases in our life. John the Baptist said this in John 3:30. He says, "He must become greater, I must become less." Now the version says, "As I decrease, he'll increase." As I decrease. And that's the beautiful journey that God has us on. Every single one of us. No one is excluded from that. God is in this beautiful journey of walking with us and slowly pulling away the things, the coverings, the self-made things in our life. Slowly putting us, "Oh yeah, how about that? Why don't you just surrender that area? Why don't you just surrender that area? Hey, why don't you just..." And he'll speak to you. It's not something to be afraid of. It's not something to be feel bad about. But you'll find that over time, as you journey in God, he'll start to deconstruct some things in our lives, some mindsets, some thoughts, some attitudes, some past failings. He'll start to pull them away so that more and more in your life, you start to reflect the image of God. And that's God's greatest purpose for you, is that we would become more like him. And he's preparing you. I really feel this is a word from God for you as a group. He is preparing you to reach this city. He wants you to lift your eyes and believe. Just imagine what God could do through your life. Imagine the things God can do through you, in your school, in your family. You're not disqualified. In fact, that area that you're like, yeah, but no, that's what He wants. That's what He's going to use. Amen. Amen. Why don't you close your eyes in Jesus' name? Lord, I thank You right now. I thank You, Jesus, Father, for Your Spirit moving in our hearts. I thank You, You're highlighting areas that we've put our faith in, we've put our trust in, temporal things, whether it's possessions or popularity or relationships. God, whatever that is, whatever the areas are that we've built up to cover us and give us a sense of worth and security. God, I thank You that You're finding the gaps in the wall. You're finding the broken places. You're coming in. You're filling those gaps. You're becoming our strength. We thank You that our weaknesses are a portal for Your power. I mean, if you're here this morning with no one looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, just to respect each other's privacy. If you're here and you're like, you know what, I've been covering up this area or that area. Maybe there's some broken places you're feeling, but you've tried to cover it up in your own strength. And you're saying, can I tell you this morning, God's saying, hey, you don't need to do that anymore. You don't need to do that anymore. Celebrate your weakness. Celebrate the brokenness, because God's going to use it for His glory. If you're here and that's you, with no one looking around, this is just between you and God, why don't you just lift your hand up to me and say to God and say, hey, God, would You come in? Invite Him into that space. Come on, no one's looking around. Thank You. Awesome. Whoever that is, yeah, just lift your hands up. It's not to me. It's just to say, God, I want that. I'm inviting You in. Yeah, hands going up everywhere. It's awesome. So good. God's going to use you. But He can't use you unless we let Him in. So good. Why don't you stand to your feet? If the band want to come back up, and just in the last few moments, I just want to spend about just a few moments to, I want to pray for you. I'm believing that if you're feeling here a sense of God calling you to be used by Him, whether it's in your school or in your family, and maybe there's some people here and you have felt disqualified, you have felt unworthy, I really feel like God's going to break that off. He's going to break that off. And some of you are going to get visions and dreams of what God wants to do in you and through you. In Jesus' name. And so the band is just going to play. And I'm just going to stand out of the way for a moment. And if you're saying, God, I want you to use me. I want You to come in. Not just so You can get in me, but that You can actually flow out of me. If that's you this morning, you're saying, God, use me. Do something through me. Do something great through my life. If that's you, you're saying that, I want you to step out of your seat. I want you to come and stand down the front here. And we're going to pray together in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord, right now. Holy Spirit. Yeah, be bold. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come. Anyone who's saying, God, use me. God, I want to be used. You don't have to come. There's no pressure here. But I know God is calling people in this room this morning to be used by Him. In Jesus' name. 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 God, I thank You. Just step forward, boys. Step forward, step forward, step forward. Yeah, yeah, come out. Keep coming out. Keep coming if you want. What's your name? Leah. How old are you, Leah? 16. Are you from here?
Yeah.
Tauranga? Do I say that right? No. You say it like an Australian. You don't even know how to say it. That's awesome. How long have you been in church? Your whole life. So good. Hand of God is on you. It is. Why don't you close your eyes? Thank You, Lord, right now for Leah. Thank You for the call of God. Thank You for Your grace upon her. Lord, I thank You in Jesus' name. You're going to use her. 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 I see on these hands are healing. You're going to lay these hands on sick people. You're going to lay them on sick. You're going to pray for sick people. And it's not going to be weird. It's not going to be awkward. It's going to be the grace of God on you to bring healing, not just to feed people's bodies, but to people's hearts. I thank you right now. You're not disqualified. You're not to let fear get in the way. I thank you for a divine boldness coming upon her right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God's going to give you wisdom and strategy. You're going to know. You're going to follow the voice of God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Healing today on her hands. Wisdom in her mind. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Who goes to school with Leah? You do? Are you not sure if you do? You do. You just put it down real quick. You don't. You thought you did, but you don't. Good. Anyone? You two do. Same grade? Grade above. Thank you, Jesus. Right now. What school is it? What's the school called? Girls' College. Just girl. How wrong I got. Not just the girl. It's in like worldwide international girls' college. Amen. Anyone else go to the girls' college? Yeah. She doesn't even go here. So good. And just for a moment, I just actually feel God. There's something happening in that school. If you go to Tauranga Girls' School, come out, quickly. I don't have much time. How much time do we? About five. What do we got? 10. Great. Awesome. Tauranga Girls' School revival. I'm telling you, there's going to be a revival at Tauranga Girls. It's going to happen through you. Who? You guys? You two? Leah, you two? Awesome. I'm guessing Oliver doesn't go. No, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, why don't you reach your hands out to these girls here? Come on. By the way, this doesn't mean revival's not going to happen in the other schools. I just know that God's putting his hand on this just for this moment right now. Is that all right? In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Father. Revival. Revival, revival, revival in Tauranga Girls College. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you right now. God, for your hand upon these girls. You're going to use them. You're going to use them together, not separately. You're going to use them together. God, together, 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 God. I thank you for a grace for them together. Lord, as an army of girls in that school, I thank you, Father, for your spirit moving in the staff, moving in the principal, God, moving in all every single grade from the top to the bottom. God, there's going to be a move of your spirit. God, you're raising up young girls, Lord God, who are going to move in the power of your spirit. Lord, you're going to give them wisdom, divine wisdom. Lord, people are going to look and say, but they're only 15, 16 years old. And God is going to use you in mighty ways with the wisdom of God, with the grace of God in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, you'd break open the hearts of these girls. You'd break open the hearts of these girls. Oh, I thank you that you're putting in them divine value, divine wisdom, Lord God. I thank you, Jesus, Lord God, that they wouldn't sell themselves short. They wouldn't sell themselves short. Or undervalue themselves. They'll understand they're daughters of the Most High. In Jesus' name. Thank you. This youth ministry is going to be flooded with girls from this school. In Jesus' name. How old are you? You're 17. How many years of school do you have left? One. That's not a lot of time. I wish I used my time better at school. And I used it pretty well. I got saved with 2 years left of school. I became school captain. Just saying, you know, awesome. Do you have that here, like head boy, head girl? Yeah. Are you going to run for that? Well, can you already? Has that happened yet? You didn't run for it. Doesn't matter. Is it too late? Oh, that's all right. That's all right. Because I feel like you're going to be like a spiritual head girl. There's leadership on you. Do you feel that? Do you know that? Or do you feel like, no, it's not me? Because it is you. You're a leader. You're a leader. You're a leader. And a leader doesn't mean you have to be the most vocal person, but you're a leader by example. You are. God's going to use you, and you're going to, there's going to be young girls in 1 year. There's going to be these young girls who rally around you, rally around your example. God's going to use you. Amen, 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 amen. Josh, come here. Are you a leader or you're in school? You're working. Good man. It's awesome. How old are you?
17.
You're 17. Come here. Step out a bit more. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You from here? Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. God's doing a work in you. He is. He's been doing a work for a while. I see a great journey that God's taking you on. And it's only ramping up. It's only ramping up. I just see God breaking open the vision of your mind, and you are seeing yourself differently, seeing yourself in a greater way, seeing yourself the way God sees you. And I see like a drip feed from heaven. God's downloading His call for your life. And at times you felt confused, you felt unsure, you felt like, is this it? What am I doing? I'm telling you, God is kind of expanding your thinking. He's kind of breaking off some scales over your mind, that you would see yourself in a greater light. You'd see yourself the way God sees you, and you would see the things that God wants to do in you and through you, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God is putting a voice in you. He is putting a voice in you. He's putting a message in you. And now is the time to put your roots down deep into His Spirit, into His Word. And I see your words going out across New Zealand. You need to believe it. You need to start to shape your thinking the way God sees you. And not cut it off, not think, oh, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. In Jesus' name. So Lord, I just thank you right now for Josh. I thank you, God, for your Spirit moving in his life, filling him today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's a girl who is on the worship team on this side of the room. Is that you? Yeah. Come here. Give her a hand. Give her a hand. She's awesome. What's your name? Maya?
Maya.
How old are you?
I'm 18.
18. That's awesome. So good. What do you do? You're at school. Awesome. What, in year 12? Year 13? What? 13. That's final year. At Tauranga Girls? No. What school are you at? Love that. It's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Did you grow up in church? No. Is your family in church? No, they will be. Through you. They will. Is that hard to believe? Or is that... Your sister here, that's awesome. Hey, yes. That's awesome. They will. I see your whole family worshiping God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you right now for this girl. Thank you for your anointing upon her. God, I thank you right now on Maya. Your grace upon her. Your grace upon her. Your grace upon her. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for authority. Authority in her. Authority in her spirit. Lord God, to pray. I see you praying. Just in your own time, by yourself, like in a closed space, in a private space. And I see your prayers are doing more than you know. Your prayers have more weight, have more authority than you realize. And I see you're going to pray, and you're going to start to lift up not just your family, but other families. And you're going to see the power of God move. Going to move in people's lives through your prayers. Even in people you've never met, God's going to put them on your heart. And you're going to pray. You need to pray for them. You're going to see breakthrough in people's lives. Amen. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you right now. You touch her. You touch her. You touch her. Bring healing to her heart. Healing to her heart. In Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. Amen. And amen. Come on, we all lift our hands to heaven right now. Just lift our hands. Lord, I thank you right now. Lord, you're preparing, you're preparing, you're preparing hearts in Jesus' name for a move of God in Tauranga. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, Lord God, as we let you in, Lord God, that you can be let out into this city. Thank you, Lord, for Josh and Steph. Lord God, I thank you, Father, for your hand upon their lives. God, I think they're going to lead a move of God, of young people, of teenagers into this house in Jesus' name. We give you all the honor today. We give you all the glory. Give you all the praise. Amen and amen. Come on, we give God a hand. It's awesome. Thank you, Jesus.